7:02. The Naked Scientist.
Time for The Naked Scientist with Dr. Chris Smith. We take your calls on 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 0727021702. Doctor, happy Monday. How are you doing?
Happy Monday. I'm very good. How about yourself?
I am fantastic. And I'm wondering, Doctor, we were chatting earlier around discipline. Are there any studies that you have read about where children get the most influence when it comes to discipline because of the fact that at some point your child is in school or creche or what do they call it, pre-primary, nursery, then they go to primary school, they go to high school. Is there any research that could give us some insights from a scientific perspective around discipline?
Well, I suppose that the best evidence is if you look at the kinds of backgrounds that the most successful people have, and I mean success can be interpreted in a broad range of ways, can't it? Academic success, social success, financial success. But usually those people who are very successful have had to work hard and they've had instilled into them a sense of duty and hard work. And most people will say that when you judge success, about half of it comes from luck/skill and half of it comes from hard work.
Mm.
So the people who tend to be very disciplined and self-disciplined, they knuckle down and they say, I'm not going out to the footy or whatever, I'm going to do this work or I've got this going on. They tend to be very successful because they've become very good at being strict with themselves. And being strict with yourselves, as you were just saying to John, can include making sure you're strict with yourself where your family is concerned as well, and making time. And as you were talking, I was thinking about this, thinking, are there any points where I wish I'd been there, or I'm very glad I was there? There are lots of the latter. Fortunately, very few of the former. But we've all had to make sacrifices, and we do miss things. And then we look back later and think, yeah, I wish I'd been there for that. And a good friend of mine in Australia used to say to me, when he finally retired, but he said, look, graveyards are full of people that judge themselves to be indispensable. The world carries on. So never value yourself as too important. There will always be another day, another occasion, but there won't always be another time when your child takes their first steps or you've got those last precious few moments with somebody.
So here's my question. If you have to choose between your child being born and being there to accept your Nobel Peace Prize, which are you doing?
Well, the child comes first every time because people will, I think, completely forgive you if you say, I'm sorry, I didn't turn up to get this award. I've still got the award.
Yes.
My name's in the newspaper, but your wife won't forgive you. It's funny because when my daughter was born, she took a long time to turn up, put it that way. And so in the end, because I wasn't feeling very well, I said, look, I'm going to go home for a while because I've delivered lots of babies.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm going to go home for a while and get a bit of rest and because nothing's going to happen for ages. So I went home and I went to bed. And next thing I know, my phone is ringing and my wife says, if you want to see your daughter being born, you need to get here now. I sort of bleary-eyed jump in the car and drive very, very quickly to get back to the hospital. And sure enough, I did see my daughter being born, but I wasn't feeling terribly well. So I did have a sort of excuse. My wife, of course, would say, look what I had to go through. But I'm very glad that I didn't say, no, the bed is more important on this occasion.
Oh, that is fantastic. All right, let's jump straight into the questions. 011-883-0702 and the WhatsApp line 0727021702. Your questions are already coming in thick and fast. So here is one that says, my sister-in-law has a son and a daughter. The son, who is now 17 years old, suffers from muscular dystrophy. So was other son who passed on. My sister-in-law once told me she and her daughter were tested and found to be carriers of this muscular dystrophy gene. If the daughter gets pregnant and gives birth to a son, there's a great possibility that the son will also suffer from the same thing. Question is, if this thing affects the muscles in males and stops them from growing, would castration allow those muscles to grow?
Ooh. Right, okay. Well, muscular dystrophy, the clue is in the name, is a degenerative condition of muscles and it's a family of different disorders. And Duchenne was one of the people who first noticed this and wrote it up medically, Guillaume Duchenne in Paris about 150 years ago. And he noticed that an excess of boys are affected. Occasionally it does affect girls, but it's usually boys. And it is life limiting. And this is because the muscles slowly degenerate and stop working properly. And this starts with things like leg muscles, but it progresses to things like balance and then also the muscles of respiration, so that you can't breathe properly without help. And it is an inexorable problem. But luckily, we are moving towards having ways of controlling some forms of this now. But it's only in more recent years that we've tracked down exactly why this happens and why there is an excess of boys who are affected. In the case of muscular dystrophy, this disease is linked to a condition on the X chromosome. There's a very big gene, the dystrophin gene, one of the biggest genes that you find in our genome. And this gene is carried on the X chromosome, which means that if you are male, you have only one X chromosome. And therefore, if you inherit a copy of the X chromosome from a carrier like your mum, then you are going to get the disorder. If you are a girl, then you inherit two copies of the X chromosome, one from mum and one from dad. And if mum is a carrier, but dad is healthy, because dad would be healthy because he must be giving you a healthy X chromosome for him to be healthy, then in girls, there is a process of what's called X inactivation. The body doesn't need two operating X chromosomes. So if you have an extra one, one of them is switched off. And so girls randomly inactivate one or the other of their X chromosomes all over their body. And this means that in cells like muscles, which are actually lots of cells joined together, there are enough cells in there that are making the gene that's a healthy version for the girls not to be affected or notice the problem. But because the boys don't have the benefit of being able to pick and choose between X chromosomes, if they're affected, they're affected. It's nothing to do with the fact that boys have testosterone in higher concentrations than girls. It is not linked to testosterone and hormones. It is the gene message which is on the X chromosome that makes the difference. And what scientists are doing is asking, are we can repair this chromosome? We know where the damage tends to be. Are there ways we can keep a sticking plaster over the X chromosome in order to bump out the bits which are not working properly and make a so-called truncated, a shorter form of the protein, but one which works nonetheless? And big strides are being made now in this sort of direction for what's otherwise a horrible disease.
All right. Thank you so much for that question. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your science questions for Dr. Chris Smith.
702. The Naked Scientist.
All right, we're still with The Naked Scientist. 7 minutes to 3 o'clock. We're taking the last bit of your questions. 011-883-0702, the WhatsApp line 072-702-1702. James in Ridderport, you've got a question.
Hi there, Bukhira. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Hi, Doctor. I always wanted to ask this question. With the fact that our castes and mania has issues with people competing against her because of the testosterone levels.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they, and now people with being changing sex and things like that, with all of that issues hanging in the air, why do people compete with each other based on whether they are male or female? Why don't they compete based on the category of the testosterone level?
That's an interesting problem. Well, can I just clarify my view? And thank you so much, James, for that question. Custer's not the one with the problem. The people losing against her are the ones with the problem, Doctor.
Well, I can't speak for policy because I'm not involved in making any of the rules or the regulations. But what I can say is, what does science have to contribute to this?
Mm.
And the fact is that there is this thing called sexual dimorphism. We look different, and that goes for biochemically, and we behave differently depending upon whether we're one sex or the other. And one of the defining differences is the level of testosterone. Now, the reason this matters is not so much what my testosterone is right now, but what the amount of testosterone is that my body has seen my lifetime, and especially when I was growing up, because testosterone is in a family of chemicals called anabolic steroids. And anabolic means growth promoting. And if you look at the average stature of a man with much higher testosterone levels than a woman, you will find that the man, under the influence of the testosterone, will develop bigger bones, thicker bones, stronger bones, and that skeleton, scaffold, is the articulating system for a much bigger group of muscles on average. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't women who will, through training, through genetic diversity, perhaps through having a slightly higher than average level of testosterone themselves, can't achieve much of the same through training, but the averages are shifted. And therefore, you have a biochemical and hormonal advantage if you are male in particular events where there are literally brute force and strength at play. When it comes down to strategy, this makes an important contribution too. Training, of course, makes a very important contribution too. But you are starting almost as though you said to somebody, this is a 100-meter sprint and Chris is not very fit, so we're going to start him halfway down the track. So people would say, well, that's a little bit unfair. Chris has got a massive, great head start over the competition. That's what testosterone does. It's giving someone a massive, great head start. And so really the fairest way, in my view, my opinion, the fairest way to do this is to say, well, let's have categories for men who have, on average, similar levels of testosterone. Let's have categories for women. And let's have categories for people who have changed sex. And then reasonably, people are competing against people who are likely to be most like them. Mixing up the sexes in this way and then expecting people to compete on even grounds is just unfair on the other sex if it comes down to literally strength related and size related events, because people who have a hormonal advantage will therefore always win.
All right, thank you so much for that question. Mabuke from Pretoria, you've got a question around brain computer interface.
Hello, Rene Bohile, good doctor. Brain-computer interface. What is your opinion or the comment the doctor has about this BCI? Because in my opinion, if you are going to link, you know, a computer chips on a human brain, you are going to take over the control of the person. Isn't that what was being said in the Book of Revelation? You go check it up. Chapter 9, verse 6, that once when these computer chips will be linked, hooked onto our brains, and when they start to malfunction, man will seek death, and death will elude them. In other words, they will never die. They will never die. They will be controlled by these chips in their brains until that is going to cause a torment.
Let me give Doctor an opportunity to answer there. It went very deep in connecting to Revelations. But Doctor, we've got about a minute to respond to that one.
This is a very interesting area, which is a growing area. But most of what we're doing in this area at the moment involves removing information from the nervous system by eavesdropping on what your brain cells are saying, rather than putting information back in. And the reason for this is usually it's in people who've had some kind of injury, spinal trauma, for example, which has left them paralyzed. And so they can't communicate with the outside world. But because the brain activity that they would normally generate when trying to make movements or speak or do things still exist, it's possible to make interfaces which will listen to that electrical activity. And you can then train a machine to recognize the patterns. And because different thought processes involve different patterns of neurological activity, you can get a computer to learn when this pattern crops up, the person wants to do this thing. And you can use this to then control devices. We're not yet at a stage where we've got devices putting information back into the nervous system. That is still a long way away, I would say.
Thank you so much for all of your questions. We will save the ones we didn't get to for next week. Doctor, see you next time.
Capture iconic moments with the brand new Redmi Note 13 series. Choose from the Redmi Note 13, 13 Pro, or the feature-packed 13 Pro Plus 5G from just 329 Rand per month. When you get any Redmi Note 13, get a Xiaomi Smart Tech device from just 9 Rand per month. Available now with Vodacom Online and in stores nationwide. Visit vodacom.co.za for more. Redmi Note 13 series. Make every shot I